All right. Welcome to another podcast for Uncommon. This week, we're talking about life after depression.
Okay.
It can happen. It can happen. We believe in that. So welcome, brothers, to our journey today as we explore the powerful lessons of renewal and growth as we overcome depression with faith. I don't want to sound like Mr. T, but I pity the fool who tries to overcome any obstacle without faith. It's going to be a struggle that it feels like that hole never stops.
Well, right. When you cannot look outside of yourself in any capacity, everything becomes so bleak. I mean, what was the running joke? Is I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
Right.
If you can't look outside yourself and say, okay, I know I'm not strong enough to overcome this depression or this, sure, you know, this loss of life or whatever, darkness you're going through, and look to God and His light and His love and mercy, I honestly don't know, like that sounds like a bad time on top of a bad time.
Yeah. This is why pharmacies are so busy.
Passing not throwing out, pills across the room,
throwing bottles and pills that people, you know, like, what do you have you need pills for? You know, it's just constant. And so the pain point here is in a culture that always, not often, always pushes us to hide our struggles. Mm. When's the last time think of someone, maybe a show that's a script, but think of someone who, like, I am really okay talking about my struggles. It's not the go-to. There are people maybe who do it. I have a person in my family who does it way too much. It's never a good day there. But it feels like we tend to really lean into that. And so, you know, how can our faith guide us and comfort us to openly discuss our depression, but then seek help to overcome it? So the did you know? You always say you want numbers.
I want numbers.
I got numbers. And we always say the numbers seem too low.
Every time.
So if you got an eraser, I could just make the numbers higher. That's like my golf score. So 22.8% of adults in the United States experience a form of depression in 2021. Is that ringing the bells for you?
Yeah, so that was the height of COVID, right? So one in four people suffered some form of depression. That's just the United States. So that number may be a little closer than we were thinking. But even that, I mean, one in four people, that seems low. I mean, I know the height of COVID, so many people were starved for some kind of community or connection.
Sure.
Because Zoom calls only work so well. I mean, we had plenty of game nights over Zoom, and there's only so many games you can play without being physically next to someone else.
I said roll the dice.
Yeah, right. Well, did you lie about that? Did you got 20 again? Oh, okay. Kind of cool. But yeah, I think what's interesting about looking back on COVID as it is now, I think a lot of people realize that they may have suffered with depression. May just didn't know to what level or what extent.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Being isolated for that long a period of time, just, you know, shine a spotlight right on that insecurity or that issue. And they realize, oh, Lord, when I can't go out and party and drink or, you know, work till 2 a.m. or whatever, I can't handle being alone with my thoughts.
Or you get people like, look, I go to work and spend probably 10 hours a day away from my family. Mm. Now I'm trapped at home, and using the word trapped on purpose, trapped at home, and they're like, I can't stand being around them all this time. I've heard those kind of stories.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody handles that the same.
Yeah.
And I love being around my family and friends, but, you know, we work out of our house. I'm an only child. And I didn't struggle with being at home like mom did.
Yeah.
Mom's like, I'm having cabin fever. I got to get out. And so, like our last podcast, we talked about let's go for a walk kind of thing. So we did a lot of walks, and we could during COVID, even to the point that we would drive to a park and we'd walk there. Yeah. But, you know, the stigma of depression around this time and with faith communities and the need for open conversation, I mean, it's, well, I want to have to talk about that. Mm. Or I feel bad that I've talked about that, you know. And I think if you're struggling outside of maybe something like COVID, because that's an anomaly that I'm 55 years old and I've never lived through something like that that required, okay,
plan it,
sequester yourself kind of thing. But when people are dealing with things like depression, mental health, they may think, and other people may think, what has that person done? Mm-hmm. Has that person sinned? This is a punishment from God. Have you done something that has caused all this? And that is sometimes nowhere near the truth.
Right.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes we are the maker of our own prison. Mm. And sometimes we're not. And so it's important, like we said in our last podcast, keeping that perspective where it should be. And because, you know, you start talking negative about yourself. It's like, well, I deserve all the crap that I get, you know. And sometimes it's your childhood. Sometimes it's your job, your career, or lack thereof. I mean, it's just a bunch of things. And so, you know, we can look at scripture and see depression there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see David in the Psalms after his child died, you know, from the consequences of killing, I am blanking on his name. That, well, there you go. There you go, our listening audience. Look up that name. For some reason, I'm thinking of the guy who touched the ark right now, but it's not that either. But anyway, David is, I mean, it's in mourning.
Yeah.
You know, he's wearing sackcloth kind of thing. He cries out to God. You know, it's about, you know, him coming to God for forgiveness in that regard. Maybe we are going through something we do need to ask God for forgiveness about. Maybe we are going through something we need to seek God's wisdom and counsel about. The Holy Spirit is there for that reason. And so as we look at our healing through our faith lens, you know, the role of prayer, community, you know, trusting God can heal you. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that holy vending machine, we put the money in, press the button. I said A4, recovery of depression. It got stuck on that little wheel. You got to shake the machine and trying to get it out kind of thing. It doesn't always happen like that. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to change and mature and draw closer to God before that healing can begin.
Yeah, I think, and you can see it happen multiple times where God uses these events of depression or, you know, heartache or just complete darkness to draw those people closer to Him.
Yes.
I mean, almost always you see people, I mean, how many times reading the scriptures about a disciple being in prison and being pulled towards God?
Yeah.
You know, worshiping Him and glorifying Him in those moments of darkness. I mean, I think it's important to understand that whether you think it's possible or not, you cannot overcome this on your own, whether that means someone around you, God, prayer, whatever that case may be. But the good part of that statement is you're not alone.
Sure.
And there are plenty of resources and things out there. I mean, there is Christian counseling out there for a reason. And that is a huge boon to whoever that needs to be, because those are people who are, you know, trained and licensed on how to understand that the way the mind works and how that helps you as an individual with that faith lens. Because there's a very big difference between a faith-based counselor and non-faith-based counselor.
Sure.
You know, and we can find hope and grace and love and mercy in the Bible and God's word. So I pressure you to do that instead of a, you know, secular counselor. But I do think that we need to work as a culture on this this weird stigma around counseling or talking through mental health, and understanding that, you know, if those people in your life can't handle you talking about your depression and seeking help, they're not your friends.
And they're not your support network either. They're going to kind of look down on you for that, knowing that they are addicted to something as well. Then not only are they not a good resource for support, they're delusional themselves because they think, oh yeah, I'm not dealing with that. Now, for counseling, I would say that this is not a one and done.
No.
I have many friends. For some reason, I was attending a church back in New Orleans, and a couple of my really, really good friends were both recovering alcoholics, decades sober, but they, Tristan used to collect AA books, the older ones, you know, and because I was at his house one day, and I'm looking at all the books, and I'm like, what's up with all the AA books, man? Are we having a meeting or something, you know? And so, and I even worked with a guy who was recovering alcoholic, and this is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. So the lesson here is, even if you do seek help from a counseling standpoint, this is not a one-time thing. Right. You may need years of counseling and sharing and growing to overcome some of the things that you're struggling with.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that.
No,
there's no shame in that. As long as God is at the center of that. Now, if you're doing that, you're spinning your wheels, and you're gonna have progress, and you're gonna relapse back and forth. So that's why we're trying to say, focus on trying to get some godly counsel.
Yes.
Whenever we can, on some support on depression.
Well, I think there's a greater success with purpose. And we talked about this in the last one, about having a purpose. It helps you focus in on, you know, we talk about the question of, like, you know, why are we here? You know, we don't have to ask ourselves that question as Christians. You know, we're here to spread the word. That is our purpose. And I think there's great, you know, comfort and calm in that.
Yeah.
When you don't have to sit there and go, man, I really, why am I here? You don't have to ask that question.
You know, it's funny. So mom was like stressing out about something. I think it was end of the month invoices. That's usually about the time that stress comes up. Yeah. You know? And so she was just having a bad day. And we started talking about it. And, you know, words were getting a little spicy. Spicy words. And so I reached over and I grabbed the candle that was on. Mm-hmm. It was lit. And I pulled it between us on the desk, and I said, let's pretend this is God, and he's listening to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it changed the whole dynamic, because while the Holy Spirit is indwelled in every believer, we have a tendency to overlook that he's there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we talk and live life and do things as if he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pulled that candle over, it changed the tone for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like we were, like, you know, arguing. It's just that I could tell that it was some, again, spiciness. And so every once in a while, when she's like having a bad moment, and she's having some back problems right now, and so, you know, she's just going through, she's kind of frustrated about that, I'll just bring over something. And at that point, I think it was her pencil thing, and put it between us. And she instantly knew what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we can kind of see that if we keep God in the middle of that conversation, in the middle of that relationship, there's going to be power in that.
Yeah.
And if you do not keep him there, there will not be power there.
Yeah. I would say that works with yourself as well. If God's not at the center of your relationship to yourself, and you think those, you know, negative thoughts about yourself, and you're like, well, how does God feel about me talking about his creation this way?
Bingo.
if that doesn't change how you think about yourself, with God thinking like, hey, I created you to be this amazing creation to reflect me, and you're talking about yourself this way, not okay, man.
So what I hear you saying, you're saying that I'm supposed to say I'm awesome
I'm pretty much
every day. Okay. So our verse for this first segment is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. It says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles. Mm. And so, again, the word is there.
Yeah.
As long as we spend time in there reading it, it removes our doubt.
Yeah.
It removes our fear. All the things we struggle with, it helps remove that. And so be sure to check out our podcast from previous as we talk about these kind of things and more. Because you're probably saying, I can hear now, TJ, I don't struggle with depression. Mm-hmm. I'm super awesome. Joshua told me I'm super awesome. Great for you. Whatever you're struggling with, take it to the Lord. And we just started our podcast, I think it was last June.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I used to go live on Facebook. That camera, that front-facing camera, it was like Bigfoot camera. It was like
Sasquatch mode.
You couldn't even Sasquatch mode. You couldn't even tell I was in the frame sometimes, which is so horrible. But we did cover a ton, like over 200 live sessions. So if you don't mind the bad video quality, we have
just
content.
Just put the phone down. Just listen to it like a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even look at it. There's nothing to see here. Same ball guy, different topic. So be sure to check out our podcast as well as our live sessions on, are they on YouTube as well?
Yes, they are.
They're on YouTube as well as on a playlist. So there are a couple of hundred, and we talk about many of these things around mental health. So be sure to listen to our awesome, speaking of super awesome, our sponsors. Be sure to check them out. In common, we'd like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, welcome back to our second segment. We're talking about depression. Don't worry, it gets better. So we're talking about how the regeneration and new life of, like, say, spring or even a birth of a grandbaby. Whew, we got three. We love them to death. Can inspire those of us facing depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things that I think everybody who's probably going through depression can point to as, no matter how hard you try, Eeyore, Debbie Downer, there are bright spots in your day. Mm-hmm. May not be exactly what you're looking for, but there are some bright spots. And so, you know, what can we look for, you know, to help us kind of get out of the funk sometimes?
No.
And so when you are going through like a rough patch, is there anything that you do like hobby-wise that kind of like chases the blues away or just like changes your mood?
For a while I was really into like brain numbing, just video games where I would just turn a video game on and then turn my brain off and then just like lose myself in there. But, and I mentioned this in the podcast previously, it's a little bit of a slippery slope with that, because then that can kind of like, you can get a little addicted to video game,
sure,
and just, you know, that becomes your all encompassing and,
right,
you know, there's that. Mostly what I've been doing recently is just kind of changing my environment. Mm. So like if I get a little overwhelmed or stressed or just have a really funky day, I try not to stay too long where I'm at, because I'm a desk jockey. I sit all day long. So
sure,
getting out of my desk and just going downstairs, or like, I'll go downstairs and wash dishes, and I'll just take, you know, a 20-minute break and just be like, all right, I'm just going to do this thing. I'll pop in an earbud, listen to music or my book or whatever, and just kind of like change what I'm doing and try to do some menial task that I know doesn't require too much thought process of washing dishes, vacuuming, folding laundry, whatever. And I found that's helped me quite a bit, because one, I still feel productive. So it makes me feel good about doing something like that. But also, I'm not sitting in the same chair I was sitting in while I was having the bad day or the bad thoughts. And we talked about this on the last podcast about just changing your environment. That pattern interrupt can be a huge boon when it comes to struggles with, you know, thoughts and, you know, physical kind of environments and stuff like that.
So for Mom and I, we do date nights. Wednesday's date night. We kind of go out for dinner. Sometimes it's just her and I. Sometimes we're with a couple of friends, and we rotate through people. And so that's a great way for us to just kind of change the pattern of the week. Mm-hmm. And then like on Fridays or Saturdays or Sundays, we'll go try to get a new coffee shop or go for a walk. It doesn't really matter where we go. We just, you know, something a little different or get outside kind of thing. Last night at our small group, they were talking about running marathons. And I was, someone told me what an ultra marathon is. It's running like 50 to 100 miles.
On purpose?
So, that's what I said. I was, why? So if you want something to distract you from your depression, once you can't feel your body from the neck down, that will distract you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you may have an activity that you can do to help change that perspective and your current situation. You know, activities that foster a connection could range all over the place. Walks, gardening, painting,
cooking,
paintball, fishing. I mean, hobbies are endless, and so if you have trapped yourself in your house, here's your here. TJ said, not only can I buy myself a cake, but I can leave my house at any time I want to. I'm free to do so. Get out, go explore the neighborhood you live in. Sit on a park bench, enjoy some shade and some sun or whatever. You can tell it makes a big, big difference in people's lives.
When one of the things that I've tried to do more recently is just take moments of where I'm not looking at my phone or doing anything. Because we live in such a fast-paced world right now that it's almost like kind of expected, like, well, you got to be going somewhere. You're going somewhere, you're going to work, you're going to whatever thing. You got to be, let's go. We got things to do kind of thing.
You're not doing anything?
Right.
What are you doing?
But I do want to impress upon you the importance of a hobby. And no matter how old you are or how young you are, finding a hobby is, I think, really important, only because it gives you a great way of personal expression, whether that's cooking, painting, or whatever, finding something. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have anything that you can lean back on that can be a really healthy expression of yourself, and you're left with your thoughts too long, and it's just a recipe for disaster is what I've realized.
Oh, and if you ever read or study or go to a museum and kind of read about artists, pretty much every piece of art you've seen is an expression of someone externalizing something that's internal, right? Except for the ones that they were done by crayons and a six-year-old. Those actually were done by six-year-olds. But there are people out there who obviously use, you know, art, music, exercise, whatever it is. I know it's getting ready to be grass cutting season. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that, like, I kind of enjoy that. You know, the yard looks good. You know, looks a sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. By the time July gets here, I'll be over that feeling and go back to, what in the world is this grass doing?
How much does it cost for AstroTurf again?
Right. So, but finding something that can help, I guess, change your perspective of your depression. Because I have a feeling that there's a fair amount of people out there that if they just did some of those things, you could probably cut your depression in half. Right off the top. You start rollerblading or going to play board games at a friend's house once a week, I guarantee you, your depression gets cut in half.
I think there's a great avenue of companionship with that too, because that creates an environment where you can find your local roller derby group that meets twice a week to do weird ultra marathons. But like that kind of stuff right there, my Bible study, we have, what's interesting is this weird like Venn diagram of there's a bunch of couples that are huge into fitness. There's couples that run a turkey trot marathon every year. It's their tradition.
Gotcha.
They do marathons all the time. And then there's the board game group over here. And there's like the muscle head car guys on the corner. And you can just see that it creates this really great group of people that can come together over shared interests. Mm-hmm. And it creates really deep relationships when you get to meet together and talk about hobbies that you love and enjoy. And, you know, that is a great way to create friendships that can lead to, like we've been talking about, those support groups of, you know, what better way to talk about the struggles of life than playing Monopoly together?
That's right. Because so, Tommy does not like taxes.
But, you know, as an example, just something like that, that, you know, it's going to be, if you're an introvert, it's going to suck for you because that's just the nature of it.
If you're an introvert with depression, you're going to struggle because you're going to be hard pressed to try to get out of your shell.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, let me just play another game of solitaire. Yeah. I'm sure it'll get better after the end of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to, you need to kind of get out of your box sometimes.
I haven't read it yet. It's on my list of books to read, but it's called Quiet, Introverts in an Extroverted World.
Mm.
And got recommended to me recently. It's on my list. I'm waiting 4 weeks out, man, almost there. if it's good, awesome. If it's not, I'll let you know. But there's plenty of books out there that are very similar to the nature of, if you're an introvert, it doesn't mean you have to be isolated. And there are ways to combat that and overcome and find your own brand of communication that can work for you in, you know, micro doses and stuff like that.
And if you're an introvert, go join the greeting team at church.
Yeah.
That'll fix that in about 12 and a half minutes. You're welcome. Our verse for this segment, we wanted to go a little something off the beaten path. We wanted something kind of the Black Album, right? Joshua, hit me with it.
It's a Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For behold, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land.
That sounds like a song made by ABBA back in the 70s. It really does. I mean, it's... But, you know, it fits. I mean, that's, you know, right now it's seasonal change, but it's also about changing in our perspectives. So one of the things we wanted to mention was a 30-day creation challenge. So what you take and think about something you could create for 30 days, whether it be like gardening, painting, building something. So Mom and I just bought some little cabinet at a restore, and that's going to be a project we deal with in the spring. They got to like sand it down. It's like it's pitch black. We got to sand it down, make it into whatever color it is in right now. But that's going to be pigeon gray or whatever. Isn't pigeon gray already? I mean, why is it called pigeon gray? I don't know.
It's more romantic, probably.
I guess so. So. That'll be something that we work on. And so finding something that you can spend some time with, because a habit doesn't take form until you spend a few weeks doing it. It's like an exercise routine. That's why probably all the gymnasiums right now are just totally empty, because everybody's finished their six-week commitment, and they're like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. So 30 days. Creation challenge. So that's our challenge to you during, let's just make this April.
Yeah.
All of April. Just get after it. Pick something that you like, or if you're daring, pick something that's new. I can hear everybody who hates change just roll their eyes collectively. There's no way I'm doing that. So be sure to check out our website at uncommon.org for some of the challenges we have there for our members. And in the meantime, speaking of challenges, if you want to become a sponsor for our podcast or Uncommon in general, listen to some of the awesome sponsors coming up.
Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. Cole and Company looks to impact the lives of all they touch so they can discover their greatest potential. They seek to coach clients to clarity and reach their version of success. Visit them at cole-cpa.com.
All right. This is segment three of a pretty much of a kind of downer topic of depression. So we're going to take and kind of flip the script a little bit. We want to cultivate some joy and gratitude when it comes to depression. How can we find some joy in the midst of that gray cloud that follows Eeyore his whole life? So finding and nurturing joy and gratitude can help, obviously, alleviate depression. Kind of my big thing, little thing, no thing. But I think practicing gratitude can lead to just lower rates of depression, anxiety, mental illness. And that comes from a study that is totally not made up. It's the Journal of Happiness Studies.
That don't sound right, but okay.
So we were doing some research. I'm like, well, I got to quote that one because that one sounds like it's made up. The Journal of Happiness Studies.
I mean, I guess you know what they study then.
They study in happiness. Anyway, the joy of the Lord, right? So I think we struggle with spending time focusing on our blessings because we always think, well, they're few and far between. Like if you just say, let's just pick the last time you got a raise. You're like, well, it doesn't happen very often. So there must only be, you know, joy once a year or once every couple of years, you know. You know, there's joy getting paid versus not getting paid. There's joy in being part of something bigger than yourself. There's joy in having health care or whatever benefits that come with it. You know, there's more to it than sometimes we give credit for. Right. And so I think incorporating finding joy into our daily lives, it will be important for this last few segments that we've been doing on depression. And I think we'll have the challenge toward the end of the segment, but I think journaling our blessings is a great thing to start with.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same, it's the same like idea as like talking it out with someone. I mean, if you feel like, you know, hey, I'm not quite to that level, or maybe I'm introvert and I really don't want to talk about this, at least at this point, eventually you will have to talk about it with somebody. Right. That's just the nature of the game.
Introverts unite.
But, you know, just getting it out on paper, and one, either you can kind of reassess where that is on the scale. But also, I mean, we talked about this a while back around Thanksgiving time when we did that gratitude series about keeping a gratitude journal and writing down those things and seeing how often something happens in our lives or we bless someone else, and that helps keep it firmly placed in our mind, because the moments where we rely on God for joy when it's not hard makes it easier to rely on him when things do get hard. If you're only going to God when it gets hard and dark and the storm is raging, you're going to fail. That's just, it's not how this works. God is not a genie you put in a box and you take him out when you have a hard time.
Right.
And if we don't build those habits when we have the chance to, and the times are not easy, but less so, we're not going to be able to withstand that storm when it comes.
Well, if you did your journaling, your gratitude journaling back in November, like we said, what you want to do is just pull it out and reread. Oh, wait, you didn't do the journaling? Shame on you. Shame. No, I think it's a good thing to find something. If it's not journaling, find something that I used to have a friend that she would put sticky notes on her computer screen to remind her something. And I told her, I said, you realize that, you know, that you can do a reminder on your calendar and notes and all that. No, I like sticky notes. Okay. A year later, you can't see the border.
Like a lion's mane.
Yeah, a lion's mane. It's just constant. It must have had 30 on there, all yellow, giving her credit, sticking with the motif, you know. But, you know, she would put things in there that she would kind of like tell herself, read things to her, remind her of her scripture or whatever it was kind of thing. And so whatever it is, it may not be a journal. It could be a walk. It could be a song. It could be whatever it is. But find something that reminds you of joy and being grateful for the things you do have, because those things you do have could be taken away. Like, makes me think of the three men given the tenant, right? Mm-hmm. The one that buried that, it was that and everything else of his was taken and given away. So I think it's important for us to understand that there are blessings in our lives, and we shouldn't focus only on the negative, even though that may be a scratch we all like to itch once in a while. I think it's important for us to remember that there are blessings in our lives and help us focus on that.
Yeah.
So, so our verse in this section is James 1:2-4.
That was my favorite one. I like this one. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Ooh. Perseverance, steadfastness. I would not think those are words that everybody uses in today's culture.
Yeah.
I feel like, and we know from our day jobs, that the average attention span is 7 seconds.
If that.
We are a instantaneous, gratifying culture. We want it now, or we have already wanted it to be done by now. And so perseverance tells me that there's going to be things that God wants us to go through that take time for our development. And I don't think anybody wants something that is unpleasant to take time.
I think it's interesting to look back on both this podcast and the previous one of all the verses that talk about the Lord being with us and the crushed spirit and the hardships. It never says God will take that away or that it'll be easy.
Nope.
It always says God will be with us in those moments. So, you know, I think that's why it's such a danger for the idea of like the prosperity only gospel.
Sure.
Where it's like, as soon as something bad happens, you're like, oh dear Lord, what did I do? Why am I suffering now? It's like,
I was told.
Right. I was told that this is where the happy train starts. Right. Give me my happy meal, man.
Choo choo.
But like, you know, he told us, Jesus is like, they came for me. They're going to come for you too.
Sure.
And that's the world and people and just everything in between. So I always love the thought process behind joy versus happiness, where joy is a constant, and happiness is a momentary fleeting feeling.
The perspective.
You know, so when we look at these kind of things, it's easy to be like, well, I felt good yesterday. You know, here's hoping I can feel good tomorrow kind of thing, instead of it being, I'm going to make an effort to look for the joy in these situations. Because, you know, when me and my wife went through our health crisis of her, you know, being bedridden for months and being unable to work and financial issues with that happening, that was not fun.
No.
That was a very dark time for us.
Sure.
And having been on the other side of that, you know, I think it's made me stronger as a Christian in my faith, made us stronger as a couple.
Yeah.
It's made her much stronger in her faith. And from my perspective, I can now reach into those people's lives that are going through something very similar to me, because I've been able to have that conversation with multiple couples that have had similar health problems or similar issues with, you know, losing a job and that kind of thing. So, you know, using that shift in perspective to find out, you know, not the woe is me, but how can I grow through this? And how is my character being tested of, you know, the Lord, you know, giving me opportunities to grow and test my mettle to be a better person.
And that's why we've been saying, don't forsake the gathering of the saints, mm-hmm. you know, attending church, small group, a mentor, because what you may be going through, someone has already gone through and mm-hmm. can counsel you with that or vice versa.
Right.
And so that's a big thing that could help minister to everybody who's dealing with something. And, you know, I've always heard that the statement, happiness is an emotion. Mm. Joy is a perspective. Emotions change.
Yeah.
Like the wind. A perspective tends to be more permanent.
Mm.
So, yeah, I love that. So Paul, right, he asked God for him to remove that thorn 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And which means that it probably happened over a course of time. It wasn't 3 days in a row.
Right.
It felt like it had been, you know, like some time between. Mm-hmm. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient. Not quite the answer Paul wanted, I'm sure, but is the one he got.
Yeah.
And so there's a lesson in that for us, that it won't always be, you know, quick mm-hmm. to be resolved. And so, as we end this, we want to encourage you that you are worth something in God's eyes. And so whether you're going through depression or anything else mentally health related, I think it's important that you find hope, you find some support, and know that God loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you have any situations that you are going through, things you've done to help with your bout with depression, please leave it in the comments below, and be sure to try out that gratitude journaling mm-hmm. or something to help you remind yourself of the blessings that are in your life in spite of the momentary bumps in the road.
Yeah. And, you know, as you kind of go through this, you know, our email is more than open to hearing, you know, anything that you guys are struggling with and kind of going through. But I would recommend also reaching out to your church. Mm-hmm. They have plenty of programs out there that can help in, you know, the difficult seasons, whether that's, you know, just conversationally, counseling wise, or, you know, life groups and Bible studies and the like.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be intentional about your mental health. I think that's what I've seen recently, a huge call for, is be intentional about keeping yourself both physically healthy and mentally healthy. And for us as Christians, a big part of that is being plugged into a church, reading God's word, and praying on that daily.
And if you've made it this far, congratulations. And so as we always end, since you're going to be something,
it better be uncommon.
Amen.